Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in the studios of WMOT-FM. The so-called Arab Spring has piqued interest and hope all around the world. Egypt, Syria, Tunisia, even Yemen, and yes, Libya, which labored for years under the despotic rule of Muammar Gaddafi, have spawned hordes of rebels who are insisting upon regime change. So what is it like for a Libyan national to view all this going on in his homeland from afar, from the relative safety of a United States college? We'll put that question and others to Ali Omer, an MBA candidate at MTSU, and we'll find out what the adjustment to American life and culture has been like for him. Ali Omer, after a little information from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. Middle Tennessee State University received word that it has won third place for Best Electronic Factbook at the annual conference of the Southern Association for Institutional Research. The factbook is issued annually by the Office of Institutional Research and provides comprehensive information about the most frequently requested facts and figures. MTSU junior Jessica Hibbler of Nashville was recently crowned Miss Tennessee USA. Hibbler will compete in the 2012 Miss USA pageant. LaShawn Matthews, an MTSU graduate student, was second runner-up in the competition. And the MTSU Centennial Planning Committee invites all faculty, staff, and students to participate in the Centennial Memory Capsule Project. Participants will record their memories and stories of MTSU, and a total of 500 recorded conversations will be archived in the Gore Research Center. For MTSU News Anytime, go to mtsunews.com.
Ali, thanks for being with us today. Welcome. What brought you to first to the United States and then later to MTSU?
Actually, at the end of 2008, my wife got a scholarship to do her master's in computer science. And it took us 4 or 5 months to decide whether to go to US or UK or Malaysia. But then finally we decided to come here, so we landed on the U.S.
And your scholarship is totally government-funded, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. It's government-funded. For master's, you get 3 years. If you're done with your master's before the period that they give you extended to do your PhD also.
And is your wife working on her computer science degree right now?
Yes, yes, she is. She's about to graduate maybe next semester, I think so.
From MTSU?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And she also got a government scholarship?
Sure. When I came here, I don't have a scholarship. Mm-hmm. I just came as a combined with my wife. Then that's the system how it works. So when you come here and you are with someone, with your spouse, you can apply and they will get approved. If you have an undergrad degree, you will be approved.
And how long have you lived in America?
We almost 3 years. We got a baby daughter, mm-hmm. beautiful daughter. She born in Dayton, Ohio.
How old is she?
2 years and a half.
How would you describe your life as an MTSU student?
You know, we spent more than 1 year in Dayton, Ohio. We spent a couple months in Washington State. Actually, that's the first place we attended. And then we moved to Dayton, Ohio when my wife got admitted to master's program in University of Dayton. Mm-hmm. But when I didn't get a chance to do my master's in Ohio, so we had together to move here to MTSU because we want to be in the same school.
Sure.
So we built a lot of relationships. We understood the society, everything, how it works. And in Ohio, actually, in Dayton, Ohio, mm-hmm. We became familiar with the neighbors, with the city, every places, with shopping, with sinners, with everything. Mm-hmm. But suddenly then you have to stop. I had to stop my scholarship or I have to move.
Right.
So,
and when you moved to Murfreesboro, you had to get used to new streets, new neighbors, new friends, new everything.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but I also recognize there is different of thinking, different of language. And first day I said, am I speaking English? The people are speaking different English than Ohio, or I'm not, my listening gets Some
and then you figured out the Southern United States, or people told you the Southern United States is a little bit different from other parts of the United States.
Yeah, the culture is not very different, but as I told you, language, maybe the slang or accent is has a little bit different. But it took a while for us to build relationships in Ohio, and now we just moved here, so you have to start from zero again and try to film.
In the beginning, what was the hardest thing to get used to?
The main point or the hardest thing I faced here when I moved here was a babysitter.
Babysitters?
It was very difficult for me to find a way how to take care of our baby. For first weeks, we just shared that. So the baby spent maybe every day where if I have a class, my wife will be outside with the baby. And if she has a class, I will be outside of the classroom with the baby. That's it. And we're here, somewhere on campus. And the other point is we concern is about the religion. So we have some concerns about different food and different materials. We don't eat pork. We eat kosher meat, whether it was beef or lamb. We don't eat beef or lamb from different religious or different ways.
You're Muslim?
Yes, I am.
Are you able to, you know, find a break in your schedule where you can actually take time to pray?
Yeah. The schedule is works very well, even in evening classes. During 2 months ago, we had Ramadan, and you know the breaking fast. It came sometimes at the beginning of a class, but professors are understandable and easy to understand to talk with. The breaks of the classes also works with us, so you can, within these 10 or 15 minutes, you can go and pray everywhere, anywhere in the campus.
When you first came here, what did you like the best about America?
When I arrived, I stayed in Pullman, Washington, which is about 4 or 5 hours driving from Seattle, Washington. It is a very small village. But when I visited Seattle, I find everything is, I'm not talking about big city or a small city, but what people have in the small village, they have in a big village.
Right.
And they have in a big towns or big cities. The same. So the post office services are the same. The public services are the same. The community colleges, they have the same services. So that is what I miss, what we miss in back home, and I think in most Arab countries especially. I'm talking about my country, Libya. Many services I have to, if I want to get it, I have to travel at minimum 50 kilometers or 100 or 200, or sometimes I have to go to the capital to find this service. Right.
But in America, in small towns and in large cities, you don't have to travel way out of your way in order to get most of the same goods and services.
Yeah. When I was trying to come to the U.S. and I had to travel 1,000 kilometers from my village, my hometown, to Tripoli, to FedEx office, to receive my I-20.
And Tripoli is the capital city of Libya.
Yes, yes.
There's no way you could get it any other way. You had to go to Tripoli because that's where you had to take care of it.
There's no way. You have to go there.
We'll have more with Ali Omer, Libyan student here at MTSU, right after this message.
The MTSU Educational Talent Search, or METS, reaches out to students in grades 6 through 12 in Coffee, Grundy, and Warren counties. We provide youngsters who have college potential with educational and financial aid counseling and guide them as they determine their educational and career goals. More than 95% of Educational Talent Search students graduate from high school, and more than 79% enroll in post-secondary education. This is METS Coordinator Debbie Frisbee.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
This is MTSU on the Rec with Ali Omer, who is a business administration major here. You were also going to say something about the quality of health services in the United States?
The quality of health services in the United States, it was impressive. It's really, really, once we arrived here, my wife became pregnant, and I thought we were in a small village, Pullman, Washington. I didn't expect that she will get care, she will find everything in that small village, small town. And I surprised when they say, no, you don't need to travel, you don't need to go to Seattle at all, you don't need to go to Spokane, Washington. Everything will be here. If she needs a surgery, she will be here, and the doctors are available here. Whereas if I go back to my hometown, sometimes a small issue is I have to go minimum 25 kilometers, which about, let me see, divided by 1.6 to the main town or to the state. Yeah, some people had to travel 100 kilometers maybe to get birth.
Tell me, how do you communicate with other Libyan students on campus?
On campus, yes. We are, despite at the beginning of the what's happening in Libya, the crisis in Libya, some differences of opinions. And some people are shocked, like me. I was shocked. I was part of the regime, and I shocked for first weeks. Mm-hmm. I couldn't determine, should I support rebels or should I support the regime?
Yeah.
I mean, and but we are united. We still stay together. We pray together every Friday. Every couple weeks, we have dinner together, some in one's apartment or somewhere, 10 students.
And there are some folks among you who are still pro-Qaddafi? Or are they pretty much behind the rebels now?
Exactly. I can guarantee there is no one supporting him 100% or something. Mm-hmm. But some, there is maybe one or two students still believe maybe he was right to change. He was trying to change a little bit. But the way how the rebels solve the situation, or the way how they, the way that they follow to, in order to get him out or something like that, it was hard to say they are right 100% or something like that.
So you sort of wish it didn't have to be violent.
It didn't have to be violent, but he was responsible for what, because he lead people to do that.
Yes.
He could do that for first week or for first month. Hey, I'm stepped down. I'm go. Okay, go do whatever you want. I'm away from your.
You said he tried to change things a little bit. How did he try to change things a little?
Scholarship was very difficult before 2007. There's no way to get it, and only few people get it. But from 2007 and later on, and to this time, up to this point, mm-hmm. it became, I can say, very easy for anyone who just apply for some papers, and there's some steps you have to follow. You have to be eligible by your GPA or something like that.
Can you describe what your life was like in Libya?
There is no routine. You can feel free.
Yeah.
Okay. Here in the United States, if you didn't go to your job, you wouldn't get payment.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas ministries sometimes don't go to their office for weeks or for 10 days. Hey, just make a call. I'm not coming today.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say why or something like that. I went to Ohio for visiting at the beginning of August, mm-hmm. just to visit. And I got stopped on a highway. Police asked me. He found my driver's license is in Tennessee and Ohio. Are you on vacation? I said, yes, I'm visiting a friend here. You just visiting, driving 7 hours just for a visit? I said, yes, now why not? So whereas this is in Libya, it's very easy. If you have a wedding or if you have any you have a party, you can invite your people, come from thousands of kilometers, just to come for one day, one night, and they go back. It's easy to go. Yes, they have to drive all this distance. But it was safe, it was easy, mm-hmm. gas was very cheap. Actually, the gas in Libya is cheaper than water.
Really?
In the U.S.
Wow. Are you able to communicate with your family and friends in Libya?
Yes, we are. We communicate them by phones. We got about almost 2 months, 1 month and a half or 2 months. They stayed without electricity, out of electricity. At that time, I mean, from the beginning of August to the middle of about September,
mm-hmm.
so about 45 days, I don't know, it was a very hard time for me, exactly for me.
The fighting had disrupted communications.
Communication disrupted the electricity, so we know they don't have electricity. We know they don't have gas to drive at all. And we know they are facing shortage in a lot of stuff, in foods, in some important things they needed for medication. So it was hard time, that 45 days about. But now they are okay. Once the rebels arrived to the south, they organized everything and electricity back and communication back easy. It was easy now.
Is internet communication widespread or is it just in certain pockets?
It is widespread, but the previous regime was always trying to control it. I mean, we don't have that speed enough to download what sometimes, even if you don't want, you want to for education purpose or something like that. Sometimes you have to go to certain places to find good speed or enough speed to download or just...
So in a lot of places, they're still on dial-up speed because
it's that slow. It's dial-up, actually. It's dial-up.
It is dial-up?
It is. It is.
A little bit more with Ali Omer on MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Middle Tennessee State University Women's Studies Research Series features compelling monthly talks on gender-related topics by faculty and graduate students. The series offers a chance to learn about research in progress and to chat with faculty in an informal setting. All lectures are free and open to the public and are held on the MTSU campus. This is Associate Professor of Journalism, Dr. Jane Marcellus.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
MBA student Ali Omer is our guest today. Of course, you know, the situation in Libya is really fluid and it's changing all the time. And, you know, NATO has engaged in a 7-month bombing campaign in the country.
Yes.
The spokesmen for NATO are saying that they're surprised that the pro-Qaddafi forces have not totally given up by now because the rebels are fighting, as we speak, in Qaddafi's hometown. Are you surprised at the rebels' progress, how much they've been able to get accomplished?
No, I'm not surprised. And I expected that, actually. And that was one of the points that we get some differences in opinions here at the beginning of the crisis. I mean, some Libyan students said, hey, Qaddafi is done. Okay, and one day I said to another student, he's not done. He's not that easy. He said, no, he's done. All the world is now not supporting him. All the world get him. He's illegal now in the United Nations at all. I said, yes, he is illegal, but he's not that easy. I know. I was a part of the regime. I worked in the headquarters of the government, and I worked in different places in the government. Okay, and before I came here, I worked just in my town, or just down in south with security, and I know how government spend on security, and I know how government spend on military. Maybe he expected this day. He opened the country to Africans. So whether people liked that or not, but the country was open to people from Nigeria, from Niger, from Mali. We have thousands of them in every village, in every state.
So you think he anticipated a day when his grip on power would be broken?
I think so. I think he expected that. I mean, but now the problem is people who are, they are Libyans fighting themselves. So it's not that easy to be no one. And last semester we spent hours and hours. Some Libyan students had to reduce their hours of classes, drop some classes, because every day you have to spend many hours, I mean, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 hours just to analyze the news, to know what's going on.
Yeah. Now there's a National Transitional Council in place, and it says it's not going to mediate between the rebels and Qaddafi's forces. Do you think that's the right way to go?
The president of the transitional opposition, he's the right man in the right place.
He's the right guy in the right place at the right time.
At the right time, yes, he is. And he has a respectable from all the country, I can guarantee that. There is some different opinions about the other people. Because some of them, they were part of the previous regime. The Libyan ambassador at the United Nations, from the beginning, he said, he sent an appeal through the media to Qaddafi. However you want to do it, just do it. But he didn't explain exactly what he wanted. He was asking him to step down, actually, but just take it indirectly.
There's been some expression of concern that the rebels will become dominated by hardcore extremists like the Muslim Brotherhood or Taliban or Al-Qaeda. Does that worry you at all?
I don't think so. I mean, it does, but I don't think it is maybe sometimes, you know, media always exaggerating stories, always. That's the work of media. We don't have different ways of Islam. Or we are all following the same rules. Mm-hmm. We are praying the same. There is no differences. I mean, I don't know how to say that in English, exactly.
It's all the same form of Islam.
The same form of Islam, exactly. They're all following the same form of Islam. There is no radical Muslims, there's no very strict that what we see in different countries. I took the advantage here to explain that sometimes the habits of the society it's come over the Islam. Yeah. So some people outside of in the United States, maybe they think that is the Islam or that is the Muslims they do, but it's not. I mean, that is their habits.
Right.
That's just the habits of that society. And when they connected with Islam and it became like that.
There is a difference between culture and religion.
Right. There is. It's just habits. I mean, just social habits.
We'll take one more quick break and we'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record right after this.
Women in Science and Engineering, or WISE, helps college women prepare for and become involved in science-related careers. WISE nurtures women's interest in these fascinating and critical fields and provides mentoring and networking opportunities. The group's main goal is to assure women of their importance in all scientific and technical fields and to promote equal opportunity and treatment of women in science. I'm Dr. Judith Iriarte-Gross, WISE advisor.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
Ali Omar is our guest on MTSU on the Record. He's a student going for a master's degree in business administration here, and he's originally from Libya. The post-9/11 fears that have been generated about Islam and a lot of falsehoods being said about what Islam really is and about what it's really like, and how do you deal with that?
Let me tell you a story. One day I was walking with my wife in an aquarium somewhere here in the United States, and just a couple people, two or three guys, and came close, and he said, "Hey, do you heard about the tourists that they were arrested yesterday morning? Or did you hear them?" There was nothing. They just tried to mention to us.
Right.
You get the point? Because she was wearing a scarf, and they recognized I was wearing Jalabiya, so they recognize these people are Muslims, so just come there and
teenagers. So they were just being smart Alex. They're trying to get a rise out of you, trying to irritate you or aggravate you.
I ignored them for first seconds, but then I couldn't control myself. I said, "Hey, take care. Some of those people are still around here somewhere, so you have to take care of them." As I told you, some people their habits are controlling their religion, but there is a different. Islam is a peaceful religion. It's just asking for peace. I mean, and I encourage everyone has any question, just come to the mosque here, to the masjid, Murfreesboro Islamic Center. Just come there, and we have very nice people over there. We have educated Imam, he's high respectable, he has high education.
And Imam has made many public appearances here in town to talk to people, to explain things with Christian ministers, with Jewish rabbis,
yes,
and with all kinds of folks.
Yes, he Dr. Osama, he is open door person. You understand what I mean, right?
Of course.
He's open door person. Just come there, whether you are a Muslim, whether you are a Christian, he's always answering questions. And just a few Fridays, he said, "I'm telling you something. If you are ashamed or feeling shy to ask a question, just send an email." When media exaggerate a story about Muslim person did this bad thing in Detroit, so people outside, they don't have time to read about exactly where this guy from, why he did that, but all what he will know that he's a Muslim. So Muslims are terrorists. That's what in general that people will say. But when you talk to educated people, they know what's the differences. They know who are doing that. They know who's trying to attack this. But that is, it's normal. I mean, I feel it. I think it's normal. Yes, sometimes I walk with my wife on the streets and by sidewalk, and it's easy to listen a bad word from someone driving very fast. And when I talk to police, he says, just ignore them. Just ignore that. He's not representing any group, or he just represents himself. So,
do you and your wife feel pretty comfortable here in Murfreesboro?
Yes, I mean, we feel fine. And my thanks to the Vice Provost, Dr. David Smith. I mean, he provided a lot of support at the beginning of the crisis. I mean, Dr. Peter Cunningham also, he was always open door person. Come to ask, come to talk. And one thing it's really impressive is the owner of the apartment where I live. And once he heard about what we are facing, what he heard about our scholarship was affected negatively at the beginning of the crisis. So he said, you don't need to worry about the rent. And you and the other apartment and only we, about two apartments in his apartment. So you don't need to worry about, just forget it. And once we get the money, he said, here's your money. He said, no, you pay this month only, but the other month it has gone already, so you don't have to pay it. So
that is Southern hospitality in the best sense of the word.
Yes, yes.
When do you expect to graduate?
At the end of 2012, if everything goes well, I'm taking some prerequisites classes, not only grad classes. So, and I didn't take any class in summer, so this might be result in some delay in my graduate. But at the end of 2012, I hope it will be done with all the classes.
What do you want to do when you graduate?
Up to this point, I don't know if the country is going to back to the safety and tranquility. I don't know if the systems, everything going to back as it was. So if I go back, I will have to go back to the same job I was. Or should I thinking about staying here for a while until everything became...
So it really will depend upon events in Libya.
It depends. Yeah, if you tell me here's a ticket today and go to visit your family, I would say yes. I want to visit my dad, see my mom, how they are doing, my brothers, sisters. But we have another issue also when we go, even sometimes when we get a 3 weeks vacation, no classes for these 3 weeks, it's difficult for us to go visit and back, because when you go, you have to apply again for the visa. You have to wait some procedures, some steps.
You have to go through a lot of bureaucratic hoops in order to get back into the country.
To get back here to the country. So sometimes it's really hard to decide in advance. I mean, just sometimes you have to wait until you get the opportunity, and just to balance the options, then decide at that point.
What kind of a career do you want to have after you graduate, either here or there?
The highest position I had when I was in Libya, I worked as assistant of financial counselor in agriculture ministry. And honestly, I would like to get that position, to be a financial counselor.
Ali Omar, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.